You may be seated. So let me encourage you once again this morning to find your sermon notes. You can follow along as we go, fill in the blanks if you like. Most importantly, live the message that you hear. So can we all agree, just like we did with the children, that life is hard? Can you agree? Life is hard, especially if you're a Packers fan. Sorry about that. M. Scott Peck, in his book, The Road Less Traveled, said those words, life is difficult. No matter what road you are on, no matter what station or season of life, life is hard. Now, granted, for some, life is not as severe as it is for others. For some, the most tragic thing that has happened to you is that your favorite team lost. But for others, there's poverty. Your house is burned down. You lost not only your home, but your living. Floods have swept away entire villages halfway around the world. There are those who are looking at Christmas in a refugee camp. Life is hard. Now, sometimes it is just a minor inconvenience, like when your cold drink gets warm, or when your warm drink gets cold. But sometimes it is when a loved one is ripped away from you. Life is hard. And when it is, we are always looking for an explanation. We crave an explanation. We want a meaning or a purpose to the hardship. And so often we come up with the wrong answer. I know I do all the time. And sometimes as we look to the wrong answers, it makes our pain and others even worse. So this morning we're going to look at another example, someone who handled hardship incredibly well. And that's the life of Mary. Just look at Mary's life. We know she's young. How young? Maybe 15, 16? Could be as young as 13. A brand new teenager, and yet she is with child. And not just any child, but God's child. Can you imagine the weight of that responsibility? When I was 15 or 16, my biggest decision most days was, would I get a quarter pounder or a Big Mac? She is dealing with the weight of the world on her shoulders. You're pregnant, you're 15, you're not yet married. You don't know where the baby is going to be born. You don't know how you will support him. And then the whispers, the stares behind her back. You see, it's kind of like her relatives, her friends, other than Elizabeth, who understands being pregnant with John. You see, most of us don't get angels who come to us and tell us God's plan. So everyone is whispering behind her back. It's kind of like when we were growing up and you tried to cover up how you spilled the milk and you blamed it on your brother. Kind of hard for Mary to do that one. Or you broke the glass window, or, hey, Dad, I have no idea how that dent got in the fender of the car. Everyone is skeptical, to say the least. And then the journey to Bethlehem. We have this romantic picture, don't we? Mary riding on the donkey. Everything is peaceful and serene. Mary's probably not riding on the donkey. Tradition tells us that at that time in history, if anyone was riding on a donkey, it's Joseph, the head of the household. Forget that she is 8 or 9 months pregnant. if they even had a donkey, and they probably didn't. You see, Joseph's a carpenter, and in those days, you were either wealthy or you were poor. There's no middle class. And we know they're poor because when Jesus is presented in the temple, read on, Luke chapter 2, past the Christmas story. You're supposed to give a young lamb, the very first of the flock, unblemished, as a sacrifice to God. They give two pigeons. That's it. That's all they can afford because they're poor. They're living on mac and cheese. Life is hard. And there were no interstates, no rest stops, no vending machines, no water fountains, no warm bathrooms, 80 miles of rugged terrain, twists and turns and curves and up and down in the desert, in the wilderness. Mary and Joseph understand life is hard. And Mary reminds us that even though life was hard then, life is still hard now, isn't it? Now, I'm hoping that you are not going through a lot of difficulty right now, but you will. And how do we know that you will? Because you have in the past. Maybe it's an illness. Or worse, it's the illness of someone you love. I think more difficult than when it happens to you. The loss of a job, loss of a loved one, an accident, a young life, never blossoms, never matures. You don't get to see how they would have grown up. Life is hard. And in the beauty of our story of Christmas, we need to begin with this hard, cold fact. Life is difficult. And yet the good news, as we see through our story, is that God is good. Now, for Mary, we understand God is good because she has a baby, and it's healthy, and it's wonderful, and it is the Son of God, and he is going to change the world forever. But we also can see that God is good in the very same way that Mary does, and that is through the birth of Jesus. You see, Christmas is the baby, but in a few months, we will get to the cross in the empty tomb. Jesus grows up, fully God and fully human. And he fulfills God's righteousness, we heard in the Old Testament reading, meaning that he did everything that we couldn't do. Then just a few minutes ago, we confessed. I don't know about you, but there's never enough time in the service to do that. You kind of tick them off, one, two, three. This is what I did. This is what I didn't do. These were my thoughts. These were my words. God says you got to be perfect, and I am far from it. Jesus fulfills God's righteousness. And in so doing, he restores our relationship with that God through that cross and dying for our sins and then raising from the grave. God is good, though life is hard. And it's not just in the fulfillment of righteousness, but it's that Jesus understands. Because he is human. He lost his father somewhere along the line. He had good friends that died. He wept when Lazarus was in the grave. His heart was broken continually by his disciples. And then the leaders of what we would call the church today, who turned on him, he understands life is hard. And because Jesus is fully God, God understands. And if God understands what you are going through, that means that we have hope. Because God is all powerful, and he can do something about your difficulties. And the main thing he does is that he goes with us. So we have hope, and through that hope, our faith in the Lord deepens. Now, we need to understand that Jesus was a realist. Today, in some areas of Christianity, you hear the prosperity gospel. If you follow Jesus, everything's going to be just wonderful. But it's just the opposite, isn't it? Life gets harder, not easier. Or just look at the life of Jesus. It got harder. He was persecuted. And finally, crucified. And sometimes we do too, maybe not literally, but figuratively. It's more difficult, at least in my lifetime, now than at any other point. Those who do not share our belief call us all kinds of names. You Christians, you're ignorant. You're uneducated. Stupid even. Believing all the stuff that you do about a God that no one can see. Well, some of our neighbors are apathetic. They don't really care much about religion. But there are others who are downright hostile in words and deeds. So life gets harder, not easier. But again, the good news, Jesus not only understands, but he has prepared us for how hard life truly is. And he says, in this world, you will have trouble. You can count on it. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. You see, in the end, it's not just the good guys, but God wins. I mean, as happy as some of you were to see the Bears win last night, God wins. Jesus doesn't stay dead, and neither will we. But not just for the next life is he good, but he is good even now. And that's what Christmas is all about. The hardship, yes. The journey, yes. It's difficult. The birth, yes. All of it. The world is in darkness, but the light comes. It's kind of like at Christmas time when you were a kid. You remember the gifts that you wanted and you actually got them? I brought along a little object, as I've done throughout Advent. Now, this is a pair of binoculars, but it represents the gift that I got when I was about 12. Not binoculars, but a telescope. Always wanted a telescope. You see, we lived on the farm where there aren't a lot of lights, and you could see the stars and the moon, and sometimes the planets, and it's spectacular. Well, it is with the naked eye, but even more if you had a telescope. So I told my parents. Now, you always have to have an angle when you want a larger gift. So my angle was, I am working on my Boy Scout astronomy merit badge. Truly I was, honestly. So, Dad, I got to have it. I mean, you got to be able to identify all the constellations. And you had to draw pictures of the craters on the moon. I want to get it right. I want to be accurate. Need a telescope. And they delivered. And it was awesome. You know how it is on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and your name's on the package. Tear it open. And it is what you think it is. We've all had those moments. But you've had the others too, right? Where Christmas disappoints. It's not under the tree. It's not coming. All you're getting is socks and underwear again. Or the white Christmas. Sorry, folks. Not the weatherman, but I'm pretty sure. No white Christmas. It's going to be brown and blah. And it may not be the perfect tree. And the party may not go exactly like you want. And that special someone that you've been wanting to come back may not be there. You see, our expectations of Christmas are not always met by reality, are they? And you know, part of the problem is because our focus is off. We get it as kids. I mean, we understand about children when they don't get the right gift, but as adults too. And maybe it's because our focus is on ourselves. It's kind of like looking through the telescope or the binoculars, but we look through the wrong end. Mary's focus was not on her hardships or her problems, but on God. And so she sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord." We often look for our meaning, our purpose in the midst of hardship. This Christmas, let's look in a different place. I want to end with a story, a true story. It happened in Denver, Colorado a few years ago. There was a pastor, and he was up here kind of like I am today, and it was about a week before Christmas, and he told the congregation that there was a family in the church that was in need, and could someone, anyone, help them out? He wasn't specific about what they needed to do, and so one young father decided that this needy family needed a Christmas tree. They didn't have one, so he was going to go out. It's in Denver, out there in the mountains. He and his young son, they went out in their pickup truck, and they were going to go and cut down an evergreen. But there was a rock slide, and a huge boulder hit their truck. It wrecked it. Now, the father wasn't hurt, but the young son, when the glass broke, he was cut, and he was bleeding severely. All kinds of cars went by, just whizzing by, literally hundreds of them. Finally, one stopped. And this couple, they got out, and they helped the young boy. They stopped the bleeding, and they took the father and his boy, and they put him in their car, and they drove them home. These mysterious angels. Father didn't get a name, and that was the end of it, so he thought. Well, on Christmas Eve, the pastor's up again, and, well, that family that was supposed to be helped, no one ever got out there because of the accident. Now, there was a bit of a Christmas miracle because the young boy was now healed, the truck had been repaired, and so once again, the plea went out, now toys and food and gifts. Could anyone take it? And again, the young father said, "Yeah, I'll do it." And he and his son, they got back in their vehicle, and they went out to the address that they were given, and who do you think answered the door? Those angels. That couple that they had helped. Now, I know that life does not always work out that neatly, but it shows us that life, though it is hard, God is good. God understands your hardship. And he loves you unconditionally, in spite of your mistakes and failures and errors and sin. His righteousness has been fulfilled by that gift of Christmas. Salvation wrapped in swaddling clothes, held in Mary's arms. The Son of God that Mary once carried in her womb. Now you, as followers of Jesus Christ, carry the Holy Spirit in your soul. And just as Mary's purpose was to magnify the Lord through the birth of the Savior, our purpose is to give glory to God through our blessings, to be sure, but also in the midst of our hardship. life is hard. But God is good. And may you show others through your words and your actions this Christmas. May your focus be on the Lord so that others might see his goodness as well. Amen. Amen.